TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome into another edition of Judd's Hockey Show with Declan, both co-hosting and producing as always. And Declan, today's show is going to be all about the important position of goaltending and the Minnesota Wild and what the Wild should do to fix, as it says on the graphic, if you are watching this, their goaltending issue. And you told me that you have come with graphics here.
I do.
So, like, you are very passionate, and I don't blame you one bit. Very passionate about the subject of goaltending. So what I want you to do is I want to start with your points about the position in general.
Okay.
And then let's get into the Wild's current situation in goal.
Okay.
What we think that they should do with those players, goaltenders, and then delve into the subjects of potential trades and or free agent possibilities.
Okay.
So the floor is yours to sort of lay the groundwork here. As I guess that this is sort of part two of Judd's Hockey Show. Part one last week, the pursuit of a center, which is a very difficult thing. And then part two, and you start us off here, the pursuit of and what to do about goaltending, which is, as Billy Guerin said in his end of the season press conference, a definite issue for the Minnesota Wild.
Hey, man, we all know goaltending is one of the most important positions in all sports. It's also one of the most random positions in all of sports. The variance, the change, everything about it is so weird. It's so wild, but it controls your destiny, right? And there's no secret that the Wild's goaltending was awful last year. It was not good. And Guerin, for him to come out, I applaud him to say that those two guys aren't going to be deserving of a spot yet. I mean, they have to prove it, and we have to address it. I respect the hell out of that. But the point I kind of want to make is, and this comes from Rob Vollman, who is a hockey analytics guy. He wrote a great book about 5 years ago called Hockey Abstract. It explains how to build an analytical hockey team, how to build a hockey team in the salary cap era, using different metrics and more appropriate ways to build your hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to do was take kind of what he said, and he has a big chapter in his book about goaltending and save percentage and how change can happen year to year, and it's almost a given whether you're really good at goaltending or you're really bad at goaltending. So what I did, Judd, was I went back to the last two full NHL seasons, so 2017-18, 2018-19. I'm admitted what's happened in this pandemic and in this bubble situation just for the sake of this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start with this graphic for you here on the screen, and I know the listeners can't see this, but our viewers can see this.
Okay.
This graphic right here that's on the screen right now were the five worst goaltending teams in the 2017-18 season. And as you can see, from 31st to 26th, Hurricanes, Senators, Sabres, Islanders, Oilers, Canucks, and a putrid save percentages, right? Especially the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
839, you know.
850 is also
850,
terrible.
850, awful.
Yep.
Just really, really bad. These teams were horrible at goaltending in 2017-18. Now, some of them made some changes, obviously. They
sure
went out and they bought low on guys, and they made significant changes, right? Okay, so now I want to show you where those teams finished the very next year in save percentage. Those five worst teams.
Okay,
and again, for our viewers that are watching this, I'm sorry for the listeners, go back and watch us on Twitter. I'm sure it'll be there. Those same five teams that finished bottom five finished in the next season, they finished here in save percentage. The Hurricanes ended up finished 14th, so they jumped 17 spots.
Still not a great
Still
save percentage,
great,
but they jumped
but
a lot.
But they basically became league average in save percentage.
The Senators did nothing to help
the
themselves.
The Senators jumped a very little bit. They jumped up four spots from 30th to 26th.
Craig Anderson, man, yep.
The Sabres jumped up seven spots,
yep,
from, you know, 29th to 22nd. The Islanders go from the 28th worst save percentage in the NHL in 17-18,
mm-hmm,
to the number one. The number one save percentage because they got Robin Leonard.
Robin, yep.
And now did anyone think when they signed Robin Leonard to a one-year deal he was going to win a G.D. Jennings trophy?
No, but he had gone through a substance abuse problem in Buffalo,
yep,
had a lot of problems, dried out, got himself right, and was outstanding for his year there, and then jumped to the Blackhawks, and now, of course, he's with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep.
Okay.
So, and then the last two teams on this list, the Oilers, who did not move, they went from 27th. They stayed in 27th from consecutive full seasons.
That's a crime.
And then the Canucks jumped up 10 spots. Jacob Markstrom, continue to improve. They improved their save percentage 10 spots. They became league average in save percentage.
Okay.
Right? So those, my point is those bottom five teams, basically the majority of them significantly improved their save percentage. And that's what happens. It's random. Some of it takes free agent ads. Some guys are you buy low and different systems come in. Obviously, Barry Trotz going to the Islanders definitely helped what their goaltending looked like a lot last year. We've seen that before with Minnesota where you put the right system in place. You can plug in some guy named Devan Dubnyk, and he turns out to be a very steady goaltender for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last point I want to make is you're probably saying, well, yeah, those are the bottom five teams, Declan. Of course, those bottom five teams improved. They were so putrid, you know, that they're going to eventually be better. Well, what if I showed you the top five teams in save percentage from those two seasons, okay? So I'm going to again. The top five teams in save percentage from 2017-18 were the following teams. First were the Predators with Pekka Rinne, 923 save percentage. He obviously was leading the charger. He started like 70 games, I think, that year. The guy was in net all the time.
Sure.
The Ducks were second with 923. The Kings were third, Jonathan Quick, 920. The Jets were fourth somehow with Michael Hutchinson in net at 917.
Okay.
And then the Maple Leafs were fifth at 917. All these are really high save percentages for teams. So again, instead of improving, you know that regression is going to come from those same five teams. Okay, so I'm going to show you the top five teams in save percentage from the 2017-18 season, Judd. And these were five teams that probably aren't too surprising who were up there. So you had the Predators, who were number one with a 923 save percentage. Pekka Rinne was unbelievable that year.
Mm-hmm.
Second were the Ducks with John Gibson still plugging in, placing and doing a tandem there. They were 923, just tied with the Nashville Predators. Third were the Los Angeles Kings, Jonathan Quick, on his last legs, but still a productive goalie. He stopped 920 save percentage.
Sure.
The Jets at 917 were fourth, and the Maple Leafs were 917 at fifth. So, again, similar to what those bottom five teams did, they jumped up. Well, you definitely know that regression is going to come for the top five teams that were in save percentage from the year before as well. So, as you see, those same five teams that were number top five, all of them came down to earth a little bit. The Predators went from first to third with a 914 save percentage. The Ducks went from second to ninth, so they dropped six spots, but still top 10.
The Kings absolutely crashed.
The Kings hit the absolute you-know-what and fell 21 spots.
That's a bad team, yep.
The Jets fell four spots. The Maple Leafs fell four spots. This is my long-winded way to say, even when you're horrible at goaltending, odds are you're going to improve somehow. There isn't really a clear-cut science to it. You're just going to improve. And those five teams that were really good, they're going to regress a little bit. Now, are those five teams better off than the other five bottom teams? Of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just to prove the point that I don't think it's smart to just go out and throw a bunch of money at some big free agent goaltender like Braden Holtby or Robin Lehner and say, We fixed it. Now, obviously, the Wild were so bad last year, of course, it's going to be an improvement. But odds are, if I was running the Wild, I would definitely buy low on someone like Hudobin or Greece or even Aaron Dell, for God's sakes, in San Jose. Like, I would rather buy low on someone knowing
Careful on Aaron Dell.
Knowing that you will be better than you were last year.
Well, I think the most important question that Guerin and the Wild staff has to ask itself is as they go about trying to retool a roster, which is, you know, not horse bleep. It's not terrible. But I think the most important question and the answer that they really have to come to is this, Dex: where are we? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you sit down and say, where are we? Because I think what you do is you go get a, if you are going to make a significant investment either through trade assets or financially in the free agent market in a goaltender, if the answer is we are close, which, by the way, I don't think the Wild is really close, but let's say it was.
Yep.
Let's say the answer was we are close. Then you have to work it backwards of saying the most important thing becomes the playoffs then as well, right? Because what you want to do is ride a goaltender if you think you've got that guy. And I'm with you. This is incredibly dicey and tough. But I think where the Wild conversation to me gets to be far easier is the simple question I posed: where are we? And I think if Bill Guerin asked us that question, I would say, look, I think you got some components here, and you're certainly not a mess. It's not like you're totally lost. You've got a blue line that's filled with some pretty damn good players. You've got some wings who are ascending, but you're not there yet. And we've talked about this before as we delve into where the Wild is currently with its goaltending situation. Is they're not at the point now, and I think this is the point of your exercise as well, they're not at the point where you pull the trigger on that being the move. Like the center, I would pull the trigger. Like, yeah. If I can get that guy, I'm getting that guy right now.
Yep.
Goaltending to me, though, is probably the last part of the equation. Because you would literally, if you were to go make a big investment, if you were to go out in October, November, when free agency does start, and you were to sign Holtby, that would be saying we're there. That would be saying we are now there, and this is the piece. To me, the goaltending piece, if you make the investment that you are basically cautioning them about, and I think that we agree on this, that is basically saying I've got this puzzle, and I'm missing a piece, like the one piece, the centerpiece.
Yeah.
That's that guy. And I just don't think they're there yet. I really don't. And so if you're cautioning about be careful about making this the priority, I'm with you completely. Now, in 2 years, I might not be. In 2 years, I might say, you got to go get the guy.
Right.
But if I can, if you come to me tomorrow and I'm Garen Dex and you say to me, I got a center to sell you. And I got a goaltender to sell you. I don't have to give it 2 seconds of thought, do you?
No.
I think we agree completely here. And look, goaltending has changed. The league has changed. Things have changed. But just from a strategic standpoint of building this team to get to where you want to go, I would make changes in goal. So I'm not going to say that I think Dubnyk and Stalock should stand pat and that's it. I would mix things up a bit. But I'm also not going headfirst into the deep end of the pool at this position quite yet.
And you're right, man. That's exactly what I don't want the Wild to do. And there's some top guys out there. We obviously have seen, we know guys like Matt Murray's out there and Robin Leonard is out there. I don't think the Wild should be in the best interest to be throwing 5-year contracts at a goalie right now because it doesn't make any sense. I'd rather patchwork with the Cam Talbots of the world for 1 or 2 years and figure it out if my guy is Kaapo Kakkonen and figure out that way. I'd rather do it. I think your defense is strong enough still that even if you were able to, even if you traded Brodin this year to get that number one center, you traded Dumba as the centerpiece, so you pluck away someone from the defense, I still think the defense is good enough that goalie is most likely going to look good. I really do. I think last year with Dubnyk and Stalock, that's the worst possible outcome for goaltending.
And Stalock was not terrible.
He wasn't.
But like
the eye test.
Garen tried really hard. He tried really hard to put a positive spin on Dubnyk by talking about the position in generalities. But he kept coming back to, but Stalock, you know, his teammates love him. He said, this is really a question, unfortunately. And look, there were things on the ice as far as the struggles went. Off the ice with Dubnyk's wife. This comes down to one guy who had a terrible year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a Stalock. Now, I do believe that you need to draw the line on Stalock and say, this is your role.
Yep.
Like let's nobody should say that's a top goaltender. Yeah. Let's ride with Alex. You can't say that. But Bill Guerin basically was trying to say in the nicest way possible to a guy who had a terrible year, you were awful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Stalock.
You're right.
So, okay. So, right now, on the depth chart, Dubnyk, Stalock, Kaapo.
Mm-hmm.
What is your... So, we'll get into outside possibilities in a second. What is your immediate solution with those three for 2020-21?
I probably buy out Devan Dubnyk.
Which is not hard to do.
It's not hard to do.
It's not going to kill you.
And look, I'm a big proponent on, I hate buyouts. I know a lot of GMs hate buyouts, but Dubnyk's is extremely manageable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pennies, man. It's dollars. It's really simple.
And you might be able to trade him. I think he's got a 10 or 12 team no trade list.
Yep.
But you might be able to get like a late round draft pick for him.
And if,
I'm not convinced you can't.
Yeah, and I think it's more likely he's bought out than someone says, we'll give you a 5th round pick for it. And both of those, to me, honestly equal value. Like, I wouldn't be one of those. They offset each other is what I'm trying to say. They offset each other.
Sure.
With Stalock, I think Stalock comes into camp with an opportunity to stick around. Again, I don't think no one's saying, and Bill Guerin flat out said it, Stalock is not the number one goalie. And you know what? There isn't a number one goalie on this team. That's why we're doing this episode. That's why Bill Guerin said those things. There isn't a number one goalie on this team. So we're back to the same, you know, question marks we've been at for, you know, 6-7 years ago when before they were trying to patch works with Kemper.
Darcy Kemper looks good now, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
And Josh Harding looked good. And then unfortunately, MS caught up, you know, like, so.
Yeah.
So you're back to that big old equation mark of crap. We don't know who our number one goalie is. So you have to figure out what it is. And I would say you buy out Dubnyk. You have Stalock coming to camp, Stalock and Kokkonen. And right now, as of right now, let's say training camp starts tomorrow, right? They didn't make a move. I would say it'd be Stalock and Kokkonen would be your number one and two. But my gut tells me they're going to sign a goaltender. So probably what that means is that goaltender, whoever they're signing, will be, not by definition, but will be their number one goalie. Whoever it is, whether it's a Cam Talbot, whether it's Robin Lehner, whoever they sign in free agency is going to be the de facto, quote-unquote, number one goaltender.
And then, big difference there, though.
Big difference.
Like Cam Talbot, it's fine. He's going to play. I think Robin's going to cost you now.
Oh, yeah. No. Yes, of course. Like, I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have said that Cam Talbot and Robin Lehner are on equal playing fields.
Jimmy Howard?
They certainly are. Right.
A Jimmy Howard?
A Jimmy
okay.
Howard,
who's like
for
my,
God's sakes.
Oh,
I honestly feel
he's
bad for him, but he is so cooked. So I think whoever comes in will compete with Stalock and Kokkonen.
Yep.
Now, both of them are able to go to the AHL. I know. Stalock has a two-way deal. Kapo, I believe, is also on a two-way deal.
Yep.
So you had that luxury, kind of like minor league options. You had that option, for the lack of a better word, to send them to the AHL. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be then, whoever the free agent signing is in pen. That's what I'll say. Whoever the free agent signing is in pen to be on your roster as one of your two goalies.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Stalock and Kokkonen come in and compete for the backup job. I know Guerin said both those guys aren't guaranteed spots. I just don't see the Wild bringing in two goaltenders from free agency and or trade.
No.
That doesn't happen.
They won't
do that.
You're
so whoever it is.
Yep.
Again, I don't want that to get mixed up. Yes, I know Robin Lehner is a superior number one goalie in
Cam. I think he's going to get paid this offseason.
Yep, and he will. So whoever the free agent and or trade, I just think it's going to be a free agent. Whoever is the goalie that is acquired in this offseason
will
be in pen on your opening night roster. I think it's like that. Yeah. I think that's obvious. It's kind of where I stand with it.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I think Dubnyk is gone. And by the way, he played great for a long time. It's just time.
Yeah.
Great job. Right now, and this is a good thing and a bad thing, greatest goaltender in franchise history probably, right?
Probably.
Backstrom might be second. I think everything that you spelled out is right. That being said, I don't know why I agree with it.
Okay.
Because I think it's what they're going to do. Like, I think you're right. I think they're either going to sign or trade. I think Stalock stays unless they get an offer that they like, in which case they might. But I think he sticks around.
Mm-hmm. Also, the most important part, not to interrupt you there.
No, no problem.
Is that
I'm putting together my thoughts.
Whoever they
happy.
Sign
yeah.
is most likely going to be signed to a two-year deal and is going to be then exposed to Vegas. Or excuse me, to Seattle. My apologies.
It's the Kraken.
I love it. Great nickname. Good job. Bravo.
I'm not as big a fan.
Whatever goalie they sign, they're likely going to have to expose.
Yep.
So that's another thing. And I believe, you know, Alex Stalock's under contract, so you can expose Stalock, but like, I don't think the Kraken's going to look at the Wilds of all the options.
They're
not
taking
the
Wild.
They're not taking
a goaltender.
So yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury was exposed. They're not taking a goaltender.
Right.
All right, so I've been gathering my thoughts here because I think everything that you spelled out to the Wild is going to do is what they're going to do. I have a piece, part two, from The Athletic, Michael Russo.
Friend of the show.
He wrote about center last time. Does a great job. Love Michael's stuff.
Big fan of Jets Hockey Show.
He wrote about goaltending this time. More interesting than the lists that he lays out is the insighting that he did in talking to scouts about Kapo. Okay?
Yeah.
He talked to a bunch of scouts about Kapo. And I will fully admit, I saw Kapo play for the Wild, and that's about it. So I'm not a Kokkonen expert. Not many people are. But when it comes to Capo, the people that Mike talked to are like, some people are like, he deserves a chance. Some people are like, he's going to get exposed because his glove's a little bit slow. Long story short, everybody basically said he's not a number one goaltender in 2021. All right. I understand that. But I guess here's my question. If you decide that, and let's say that you go the Dex plan, you know, let's just say, let's say that the scenario you laid out as your plan is right, and they go out and they sign a goaltender or they trade for a goaltender, and now that guy is written in pen, and let's say Stalock's still there. There's no door open now for Capo. Like, it becomes very difficult unless Stalock is gone, removed from the equation. I'm going to go back to the question I asked you at the outset of this discussion. Let's say we are the Wild.
Okay.
I'm Bill Guerin.
I'm assistant.
You are Tommy Curvers.
Yeah.
Or hell, you can be Guerin. I don't care. But anyway, the question comes up, and it's a fair question. The doors are closed. The answers are real. The beer is flowing, and the language is flying.
Yep.
Where are we? Where are we? I think that when it comes to Capo, who was the American Hockey League goaltender of the year, who, as one scout told Michael, has done everything he can in Iowa. So there's no more to do there.
Yep.
I think the answer is we are at a place where we've got to give him a chance, and this is a great time to do it. You can't have every discussion in sports based around, let's just pursue a championship, Tommy or Billy. Let's pursue that championship and let's do... We don't have a center, okay? We don't have a bleeping center. And so your plan, I think, is their plan. But privately, it's not my plan. My plan is to find a way to get as long a look. And look, if the answer is we can't have, like my scouting staff says, you can't do this, Bill. Capo can't be that guy yet. Perhaps in the future. Then I got to get rid of Stalock if I'm going to bring in somebody else to start. I've got to see this guy play. I'll say this. When it comes to Dubnyk at his current age and time in his career, and when it comes to Stalock, I know what I got.
Yep.
And I'm not winning a championship. Okay? So if we are going to go with, Bill, you can't start, if Dean tells me, we can't start Capo. He cannot be our top goaltender. Well, Stalock can't be. Like, that's just unfair. That's malpractice. So then you got to get rid of Stalock, too. But I will find it unpalatable if this franchise in the coming season does not find a way to get as much of a look at Capo as is humanly possible. So I have a major problem with the answer being, well, he might not be there yet, and we're not quite sure. And if Dean says, I got a short-term contract here, I need to win, I fire him on the spot. This is not where I'm at. I'm at finding out what I have. And the next, among the next bits of exploration is Capo Kakkonen.
Yeah.
I don't know him yet. Mm-hmm. I know Stalock and I know Dubnyk. And I know that neither one of those guys is capable of being the guy that if I am someday going to parade Lord Stanley's Cup around the ice, which will be carried by my captain, who is maybe not here yet. It's got to be with a goaltender. It's got to be with a goaltending solution that I have yet to find.
Yeah, and this is hard, man. It's hard to pinpoint goaltending and just find your free agent. That's what I'm worried about. That's exactly what I'm worried about. Is I think there's this belief that, well, you throw the money at Robin Leonard or Matt Murray and it's solved. Problem is solved. Number one, it might work for a year or two. But that contract's probably going to play a factor in how you want to finagle and build your roster. And also, I think it'd be far-fetched to just assume that if you got one of those two guys, you're automatically going to be a top five team in save percentage, and you're just going to be a better goaltending team. You know, so I think that it's so random. Goaltending is so random. Who thought Bob in Florida was going to be so bad this last year? Who honestly thought that?
Somebody should have. Plays for freaking Torts in Columbus, which is the most goalie-friendly thing, right? You can possibly do. Dale Tallon lost his job because because he signed him to a 7 year, what, right?
Yeah.
7 years, $70 million contract?
Yeah.
Absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
But I just don't think the Wild's in a place yet to pull the trigger on the type of goaltender that someday we'll talk about.
Yeah, I think you are so much better off taking an Islanders route and saying, all right, Robin Leonard has had some issues, but we're going to buy low and he's gonna turn into Jennings' guy. You go and you try to trade for Devan Dubnyk and get him out of a bad situation.
And if your response back to me is, you don't understand, Judd, we want to play at a pace that's going to cause our goaltender to have to be that good, then I got to go find a lot of players I don't have right now.
Exactly.
Like Dean's pace was fun to watch, and Fiala can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kaprizov can do it, my guess is. Yeah. I hope, I think.
Yeah.
They've got a few guys that can play at pace, but they don't have a roster even close to that yet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have six guys that can play at pace. Like, that pace was fun, and anybody can do that for a week or 2 weeks, or I go back to it, 12 games, right? But if that's going to be, if your answer is, damn it, we are playing at a pace that's going to cause our goaltender, then I've got to go out and restructure and redo and reconfigure, which they probably have to do to a certain point, that roster.
Right.
So, yeah, this is a fun exercise, and these lists are fun, but I am 100% Team Dex on this, on your points about, as certain as I was last week, you got to find a center. Like, you don't have a choice. You've got to go find a guy. This is the one where I can take my time. And I will default to this. I want to see the kid.
And last thing, too, if you just look at the Stanley Cup champions the last few years, Jordan Binnington, who the hell saw that coming, right?
Well, and what happened to him?
Yeah, and he fell off a little bit in this last playoffs.
Most definitely did.
Brayton Holtby had a pretty bad regular season with the year the Capitals won the Cup, but he turned it on in the playoffs.
He didn't start the playoffs.
Right.
Grubauer, who was hurt for the Avs, started that playoffs and got lifted for Holtby.
When the Penguins win back-to-back Cups, they pull Fleury and put in some guy named Matt Murray.
And Fleury became a sieve in those playoffs.
So, like, my obviously Corey Crawford. Corey Crawford, like, is not an elite goaltender by any means. He wins 3 Stanley Cups.
Well, he was at one time, but he's old now.
It's so random, is my point. It's so flippin' random. It's not just throwing money at a free agent and solving it.
And you have to be responsible about where you're going to solve your problems and when.
Yep.
And you have to be.
And that's important.
Okay, last part of today's fix show when it comes to potential fixing the Wild goaltending. I'm going to run through the to-be unrestricted free agent list, Declan Goff.
All right, I'm ready.
And stop me where you want.
Okay.
The top guy on this list is 31-year-old Braden Holtby from the Capitals. He's going to get paid.
He's probably going to get paid. Yes, probably going to get paid.
I say no. The second guy from the Chicago Blackhawks, you just broached his name, 35-year-old Corey Crawford. I don't know he's going to get paid. He's had concussion problems. He's not young. I also don't think that's a fit for what you are doing.
I agree with that.
Your thoughts?
I agree with that. I don't think Crawford is. I would buy low on Crawford of the fact of if you can get me for a 2-year deal or a 1-year deal, prove it. All right, I'll play because I'm a big believer and there's no bad.
He's probably going to be looking for at least 3, if not more,
yeah,
right?
Because it's
doing at the end and he has had concussion problems.
No way in hell I do that.
Third guy on this list, 36-year-old, he feels like he's 50, my age, Jimmy Howard.
Oh, God.
Is this the type of guy that if you get rid of Stalock, you plug in for a year while looking at Kapo more?
Look, I have a soft spot for Jimmy Howard. I've always liked him, but and that Detroit team was one of the most atrocious hockey teams ever seen this last year. They were so, so bad. And I don't think awful. Jimmy Howard is as, what was his, that guy's record was like 4-40 something last year. It was so bad.
He played against the Wild and they left him in forever and he just kept giving up goals. You remember that game?
Yes.
In Detroit?
Yes, I do.
Stalock won that game.
So no, I don't want to. I don't. No. No, I'm sorry. God bless you, Jimmy, but no.
This guy is going to get paid, and I think he is finally going to get himself a multi-year contract from the Knights, 29-year-old Robin Leonard.
I've been very impressed with Robin Leonard's story off the ice. I think he deserves to get paid. I think he is a number one goaltender, Judd. I just don't think he's going to fit the Wild's price range.
The exact type of guy that I think we'll be talking about as a realistic option in a couple years.
Yeah, Maybe. And, but not now. And he's taken, and I think Michael points this out, he's taken back-to-back one-year deals.
Yes.
To prove
and
that.
And been traded in the meantime from the Blackhawks.
And to prove that, now pay me. He's not going to take a third one-year deal.
Hell no. 39-year-old from Ottawa. We'll go quickly on this one. Craig Anderson.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
No.
From the Canucks, he beat the Wild in the qualifying round. He is 30. Jacob Markstrom, I think he's going to get paid probably by the Canucks, but he is going to get paid a lot.
Yeah.
And I think Vancouver, they've got some decisions to make, but I think they're going to keep him.
I'd be shocked if he leaves Vancouver. He's a great goalie. I'd love to have him.
Call about Brock Besser then.
Yes, no kidding. But it's probably not a possibility.
34-year-old, and this probably fits more in, Thomas Greiss. Islanders.
I'm in. I'm totally in on this.
I wonder what he would want.
Yeah, I'm totally in on this because I don't think he's going to be someone that's like, I deserve this contract, blah, blah, blah.
How good is he?
I think he's good enough. He won the Jennings tandem with Leonard and
but
the Islanders.
You brought it up yourself, though. You play for Trotsky. Trotsky loves to bore you.
I think Greiss is, he's the exact guy I would want.
Okay.
I have him circled as definitely. I pick up the phone with his agent and I start the dialogue. Yes, he's one of them.
Two more names from the Flames. He is 33, Cam Talbot.
Yes, I'm in. Yes, I'm in because, again, I think he fits what the transition plan I'm aiming for. I don't look at him as like, like he's not a stopper. He's not a true number one.
No, but he fits the plan.
But he fits the plan.
But Stalock has to be gone. He's got to be gone because I've got to play Koppel.
Yep. So, yes, he is part of the plan. So, yes, I pick up the phone.
And the last one is a man who was once drafted by the Wild and never played here, and he was traded to Boston. He is now 34, Anton Khudobin, who has been playing in place of Ben Bishop, who stunk and I believe is also injured. Or he is injured.
I would have been more on board with it if he didn't have to replace Bishop and he's up in his stock.
And I think he's staying in Dallas.
Yeah, and
I think
he's probably going to stay. I don't think he's going to be interested in the Wild services, and I think he'll be out of their price range.
So you've got Greiss and Talbot as your two, and that does make sense.
For free agents, yes.
Because I think that those are doable deals. Okay, before we get to potential trades, I'm going to throw in a wild card.
Okay.
A wild card, and it's with the 9th pick in the draft. Do you consider Yaroslav, is it
Halak?
Askarov?
Oh.
No. In the draft, I believe he is a Russian goalie. He is the hottest thing since sliced bread. He is going to be potentially available with the 9th pick. I personally take a center, but do you consider trying to solve your problem long-term by taking a goaltender with the 9th pick, who's supposed to be very, very good?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't think they are in a position to be drafting a goalie project for 2-3 years. If you want to draft a center project for 2-3 years,
man, we're on the same page today. We're too much on the same page.
Do not do this, dude. Do not do this. No, please don't draft a goalie. No, 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 no.
It takes them too long. You know what? If they were okay. I would do it if they were a little bit more behind where they are. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
Like if their blue line was okay, not great, they didn't have a center, Kaprizov was another 2 years away, I might consider it. I might consider it, but I'm with you. The days of a guy like Tom Barrasso being drafted by Buffalo, I believe 5th overall in 83, and basically stepping in, seem to be gone. Like these are development projects now.
Yeah.
All right. Move on. Let's complete our exercise here with potential trade targets, okay? And I am going to sort through my papers here, and I'm actually going to go back to what Russo laid out as the potential trade targets, trade options for the Wild. Let me tell you right now that I am reticent on all of these names because I think what the Wild would have to give up to get these guys should be devoted towards the pursuit of a center.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be big on, unless the trade was an absolute steal for me as the Wild, I'm probably not going to be big on trying to make a trade because I think your trade assets need to go towards a different position.
Okay.
We'll start with this one. Matt Murray, who in this story, Russo reported that Guerin tried to evidently pry loose in a first attempt to trade Zucker to Pittsburgh. or Tristan Jarry, who it sounds like the Penguins now might be trying to trade. Or no. I'm sorry. They're now trying to trade Tristan Jarry, and that's who the Wild tried to get. Murray is now, I mixed this up, going to be available. And so do either of the Penguins goaltenders intrigue you in a potential trade?
Murray does. I mean, Murray intrigues me just because I think he's a really good goalie, but you brought up a good point of the assets that you'd have to give up to get him are too significant, and I'd rather see those assets go to a number one center. Jarry, if I can get him cheap, if I don't have to give up a lot, why not?
And you can't.
No.
He's going to cost you now.
Right. So I don't think those are realistic options, no. I love Matt Murray, but no, I don't think that'll happen.
From the Columbus Blue Jackets, sir, we have, is it Jonas Korpisalo and Elvis Merlikens, who are both, the problem in Columbus, dude, I can't tell, because Bob was great too. Guess why? Their system works really well.
Right.
But the problem is Columbus, by its nature, inflates goaltender value without you seeing them stripped away from the Blue Jackets system.
Yeah.
So again, I think the asking price is going to be enormous. And are you getting a great goalie, or are you getting a goalie who is good but is also the product of a great system? I'm out on both those guys.
I think one of them won't cost you a lot, which is I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't think they'd cost a ton. They wouldn't cost the same as Murray or Jarry. So I'm interested in that cost, but you bring up a good point of our boy Trotz. I can't tell. I can't. It's not the same, Judd, but it's kind of like Kubiak. Kubiak with quarterbacks. Kubiak, you can plug and place these guys in. Does this work? Is this legit? Is Matt Schaub really, really this good? Or is it just a system? You know, I don't know. I probably would steer away. I'd feel much more comfortable going after a Cam Talbot.
An oldie but a goodie from the St. Louis Blues, Jake Allen.
Okay, so Judd, I said this was the guy who I was circling 2 weeks ago and saying, you know what? Screw it. Go get him. Go get him.
Really?
Go get him.
Interesting.
Coming off just for a 1 year contract. So even if he, best case scenario, he solves your goaltending issues.
Yep.
Worst case scenario, he's out and he's a UFA this time next year.
And he's just a complete head case.
The problem is now with Binnington playing absolute dog bleep, St. Louis is not going to be in any market to be probably trading either of those guys.
Is Jake Allen good?
Yeah, I think he is good.
I can't decide.
I think he is good.
He's such a head case at times. I can't decide.
I don't think at such times.
And
I
the
think
Wild,
he is.
And I will always say this. He played really well in that opening round win when Yosi and the Blues beat the Wild. But I still go back and look at those shot charts, the heat maps, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were shooting for Minnetonka.
Yeah.
So I just can't decide, and he's fallen apart. I think it would cost too much to be worth the investment. Now, if I could sign him, if he was going to be a free agent and I could sign him off the market,
yeah,
I probably would.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just plug him in then, but I can't. All right, two more names to go. The Toronto Maple Leafs are such a mess, man. They haven't won a cup since 67. Frederik Andersen, who was a Boone's favorite with the Ducks. Was the latest goaltender to be to end up with the Leafs because he was seen as the guy that was going to be the guy. They got bounced again in the first round. Do you have an interest in 30-year-old Fred Andersen?
I do, for the right cost. I totally do if they're just like, we want out on this
guy. Okay, what's the cost?
Fifth-round pick.
Yeah, and I think they'd want a player from you.
Okay, I'm not giving you a player. I'm not giving you a significant player.
Okay, so you're not going to give them a defenseman, which I would not.
God, no. No.
They're going to ask for a defenseman. Kyle Dubas just robbed the Penguins.
I know he did.
In fact, I got a quick thought there, too.
Okay.
All right, last name, 35, Marc-Andre Fleury. Leonard's probably, he might leave. So this is weird.
It is a weird situation in Vegas right now.
Leonard gets traded from the Blackhawks to the Golden Knights. And it looks like you've got a really nice 1-2 tandem. Pete DeBoer, though, decides to ride with Robin and not Fleury in the playoffs. Fleury's agent, a guy by the name of Alan Walsh, who's been outspoken about lots of things, puts together a meme? Is that the correct term? He puts together a Photoshop picture of a sword through the back of Marc-Andre Fleury, making
dude?
A save, and the name on the sword is DeBoer. Marc-Andre Fleury, who by all accounts is the greatest team guy, is like one of the best guys in the league, asks his agent to remove the image from Twitter and I'm sure Instagram, and then does a conference call basically saying, I didn't approve, but he tries to defend his agent. Long story short, I think if DeBoer's back, which he's going to be, that Fleury's probably gone. Now, this could be, I will tell you this, I think the price here could be right. Like, I've got serious questions about the price on the rest of these goaltenders and what teams are going to ask for. I think the price on Fleury at 35 might be right. By all accounts, again, he's a great guy. He might be a great guy to team up with Koppel and to help him. I got to be honest. This one intrigues me a little bit.
It's intriguing. I just...
Because I think, to your point, I don't think the asking price here is what it would be for a guy like Frederik Andersen.
It's uncertain because of what Leonard's going to do, and they're definitely not...
But DeBoer's alienated the goal, you know, Fleury a lot here.
Right.
Which is probably going to cause Vegas to have to do something.
Well, then they'd have to get a goalie back in return. And they're not going to take one of our goals.
I'd give them Stalock back. Well, the one question is, do they come to Robin Leonard with a multi-year contract? And they might.
And they might. I could see
that.
So
then Fleury's gone for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think you could get Fleury for a draft pick.
What draft pick?
Fourth, third round?
Real? I don't know. I think that, I don't know. I guess maybe they're looking at it as a salary dump too. I mean, he makes a pretty penny.
But I mean, he's 35, so let's say he would be a 2-year stopgap or something like that.
Right. Maybe. I think it's way too complicated.
If you're asking for more, I'm not trading.
Yeah, I think it's way too complicated personally.
All right. That's our attempting to, in the best way possible, fix the Wild goaltending. I want to get to one more thing quickly, okay?
Okay. All right.
This is good news. We're gonna close the show on good news if you're a Wild fan. And that is this. So the Penguins in the Zucker trade traded you what you thought, because they were going to be a playoff team before the shutdown, traded you a first-round pick for 2020. But then they made the qualifying round, and technically that wasn't the playoffs in the eyes of the National Hockey League when it came to draft picks, but it was in the eyes of the statistics. And so they lost and were upset by the Canadiens in the qualifying round, and the league went back to the Penguins and said, okay, your option in the Zucker trade, you want to send your 2020 first-round pick to the Wild now or in 2021? And the GM of the Penguins, Jim Rutherford, said, we're going to hold it till 2021, and therefore, I believe it's the 15th pick, correct?
Yeah.
In the 2020 draft, we're going to keep that pick. Yesterday, the Penguins make a trade in which Jim Rutherford has lost his absolute bleep in mind. He makes a trade yesterday with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And reacquires a guy that he traded a few years back, Kasperi Kapanen, who is a forward, who's an okay player.
He's all right.
And within that trade, he sends that first-round pick, which he didn't give to the Wild, to the Maple Leafs in what is a highway robbery trade if you're Kyle Dubas and Toronto, all right? All of that being said, here's the good news. I realize that the addition of Kapanen is supposed to help Pittsburgh immediately and that they're incredibly panicked, and they should be, because, oh my God, Crosby's aging, Malkin is aging, we've got to continue to take shots, right? But Dex, the desperation here by Pittsburgh to me, if you are Bill Guerin and the Wild, and of course Bill Guerin used to work with Rutherford in Pittsburgh, is absolutely great news. Because I think we're getting close to it all falling apart in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And if it does, you got their first pick in 2021. Long story short, they appear completely flummoxed and desperate.
Yeah.
If you are the Wild, if they fall apart, you're in great shape.
Yeah, you are.
You could have, not saying for sure, but you could have a top 10 pick if things come as unglued as they appear to. And Pittsburgh is definitely right now going backwards. And I don't think this trade and acquisition is going to help them one bit.
Yeah, they're at a crossroads to the point of where, like, they still have Malkin and Crosby, and obviously Gensel's still great, and Zucker's still a good player. They have amazing offense. They have Matt Murray.
You think Zuck gets moved again?
No, I don't think so.
I think he might.
I think they have a lot of good pieces, but there's some disarray Something's wrong there. I heard a stat on Sirius NHL.
Jim Rutherford's lost his mind. That's what's wrong there.
Before they lost to Montreal, that I believe before Game 5, since winning their second consecutive cup, they have lost 16 of 20 playoff games.
That's
since
correct.
They have lost.
You heard that right.
That's a Minnesota. That makes the Wild blush a little bit.
And
you know?
The Twins, like, too.
And
16 consecutive playoff defeats, tying the Blackhawks.
I'm ready to press. Stop it.
The longest playoff losing streak in North America.
Yeah, stop
next
it.
To like the 75-76 or something Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Or it's tied, I believe.
Thank you for bringing that up.
We were raised in the state of our baseball team not winning.
So I think Pittsburgh's in some serious trouble, and this is good news for the Wild. Yes, hopefully they get a top 10 pick.
Last thing about that trade. Did you see who was included in that trade?
Oh, yeah, Pontus.
Yes.
Pontus Aberg.
22 games, one goal, five assists, a Fenton favorite, 2018-19, and I believe he came from the Ducks, right?
Yes.
Or did he go to the Ducks?
Well, he came from the Ducks.
No, he was traded to the Ducks.
From Vegas.
And had been taken by Nashville during Paul Fenton's days. Pontus Aberg, man, never thought I would hear his name again. Now, the good news is, this time him being included in a trade could help the Wild. All right, we have, I don't know if we fixed the goaltending, but I think we kicked the can down the road, correct?
We have addressed it, yes.
And yes, I think we both agree that the Wild needs the reset button hit a goaltending. It needs to be careful here. And don't go out and trade a lot or spend. All right, Dex, we'll be back next week. I don't know exactly what we're going to fix at that point in time, but we will fix something on Judd's Hockey Show. Thanks for tuning in. And
pass, shoot, score.